Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have my inspiring friend, Anna Grace Taylor, as my guest today. Anna Grace Taylor is an angel therapist, spiritual mentor, healer, singer, and speaker who has been featured on BBC Radio and Hay House Radio. Join us for a conversation about angels, life, love, and living your music. Hello, Anna.
Hi, Margot.
Oh, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm just sitting here in my cozy little home, and it's really rainy and dull, so I get to, you know, just have a lovely chat with you while I'm just, you know, warming up because it's been a bit cold here today, and I'm just really thankful for you to invite me to your show because it's been a while. I was thinking of saying it's a couple of years since I've talked to you.
I think so. I can't remember exactly how long it's been since you've been on my show last, but I know that every single time you've been on, we've had fun, and I just love having you on the show. And I have to say that, you know, it's because of you that I'm doing these shows, really, you know, because I signed up for Blog Talk Radio, I realized, 10 years ago for Live Your Music, but I didn't start doing the first show until December, well, actually, the very first show you were on, it was December 4th of 2013.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Was it that long ago? Wow.
Yeah, it was that long ago. And, yeah, it's so funny because, you know, people see me and they think that I do am a lot braver than I look braver than I really am. And it's like it took me that long, though, from 2009 to 2013, almost the end of 2013, to try doing my first show. And it was thanks to you having your show about angels, Anna and the Angels, that helped inspire me to do it. And then you even helped me figure out how to do it and do the first test show. So I just want to thank you.
Yeah, I remember us having a conversation about it. We had a whole conversation about what you would do and how you do it. And, you know, and now you do more radio shows than I do. So.
Oh, I know, I know. I haven't been doing them every single week anymore during this last year. I've been doing them whenever I feel inspired to do it because it is a lot of work, and I love it, but it is a lot of work, and I want to only have on people that I feel inspired to interview. I don't want to just have shows because I'm filling up space, you know. I want to make sure that when I have people on.
Yeah, I understand that totally, yeah.
Yeah, that is somebody that I feel inspired to talk to and I feel will be inspiring for my listeners as well. And, you know, I just, in the slideshow, I have that picture also of you and me at the recording studio, and that was 10 years ago also.
10 years, yeah. I was just, you know, as you know, I was just reflecting over that, and I just thought, wow, you know, 28-year-old me just would have had no idea of the following 10 years. It's just been so much good stuff and so many lessons and so many things that I've done that I never thought I would do. And it's a real opportunity, I think, when you have this big milestone to review things and to be grateful and to just look back on all those great memories. And yeah, it was a really, really fun time. And, you know, we got to spend time together at your home, and it was, you know, obviously the first time I'd met you. It's just lovely to kind of revisit that. And I was so grateful to you at the time for having, you know, me to stay. And it was a lovely, lovely time. So very grateful.
Oh, well, you know, Anna, it's one of my happiest memories. You know, I just, when I look back on my life, and I do this often, look back and say, what am I glad I did 10 years ago, and or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, and for me it can go way higher than that years ago.
Yeah,
but,
I get it.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's good to look back and see what you're glad you did in the past. And, oh, boy, one of the things I'm most glad I ever did was to become email pals with you in June of 2008. And then to go and pick you up at the recording studio in 2009 in September, and it was so much fun meeting you in person after getting to be friends with you.
And then we had all the, you know, conversations about radios and radio shows and angels and things that we're talking about now that you talk about all the time that were new to you at the time, and things that were new to me because obviously I'd never been really in a studio before. So it's kind of lovely to be able to share experiences with each other that now are really familiar to us, and I love that.
Yeah. It's so funny because, you know, some of the things that I've done during the last 10 years, 20 years, I didn't even ever dream that I would do. And I'm sure that that's true with you, too, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's just journey back a little bit, though, to 2009 and recording your debut album, because I want to play three songs, if we have time, to play all three of your songs that I have queued up during the show. And I'd like you to tell us just a little bit about how that album came about. And then the first song I'd like to play is Like Me, and I'd like to talk to you about it first and then play the song and then talk to you about it a little more.
Sure. Well, as you know, so by the time I'd met you or connected with you, rather, by email in 2008, it was because I had known Julie, who was a person who lived in the area in California where I ended up recording my album. And she said, you know, you should connect with Robert Berry. He's a producer. And he could maybe write some songs with you. Well, at the time, I thought, well, that's great, but he's in California. I'm here, so it's not really going to work. But in the end, what happened was is we ended up, you know, I would send him lyrics and a few little ideas for maybe the melody here and there, and then he would, you know, come up with a melody and record the little demo in his studio, and then I would say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, good, or can we do like this, or can we have it like that? And then we ended up, you know, doing, I think at the time, I think it was actually 11 songs, although 10 ended up on the album. But one of them, in fact, Like Me, was only written, I think, about 2 weeks before I even went. So that's really interesting, I find, because it's one of my favourites, and it could nearly have not have been on that album. So that was really fun. And then, yeah, so I just thought, well, I'll see how it goes. I'm just going to write the songs and we'll see what happens. And then I just couldn't imagine not recording them. And so I started to ask my friend. At that time, I'd only just joined Facebook, so it wasn't a thing. You know, it wasn't such a thing as it is now. And you know, crowdfunding certainly wasn't a big deal then. And I remember, you know, Robert and other friends of mine saying, you know, I'm sure people will help you. Why don't you put it out there? You're raising money for an album. And so in the end, I had a few people sponsor the song. And then also I came up with a wall of love, which was 111 hearts, because 1111 was always a sign for me, where people could have their initials in each of the hearts and raise money and help me be there. And by the time I started to share that more and started to say, like, I am going to California in September, well, it was actually August, the end of August 2009, mm-hmm. you know, can you help me do this? You know, within a few weeks, I had, you know, a huge amount of money, and people were so kind. So I actually, yes, I, of course, I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of, you know, being there, but I actually see it as everyone's album, because whenever I think of the amount of people that helped me do that, it was, you know, we're talking probably, you know, at least 80 people that helped me do that album. So it's really special to me in that way, because it reminds me of how important it was for me to ask for help, how important it was for me to have patience and not, you know, kind of decide that it had to be immediately, because if I decided that, then nobody could have helped me, you know. So it was such an experience, and beyond the music, it really taught me a lot about receiving, about community, about really trusting the process. You know, obviously a huge amount about creativity and, you know, connecting with people at a time when really we didn't really do the social media thing. So, yeah, it was a really special time, and I every time I look at the actual, you know, CD, or I see, you know, some of the friends on Facebook that I still have in that time, especially recently, they're all like, oh, I remember when you were doing all of that and when all the money came together. And one of the ladies was really helpful in actually giving me the artwork for all of the hearts and putting all of that together. So, you know, there's people still mention it. And, yeah, I'm always really touched when I think of the amount of people that helped me do that.
You know, you taught me so much by showing me that, you know, if you ask, the answer can be yes. People might help you if you ask. And you had, I didn't know anything about angels before I met you. And then I gradually got more curious about them as I was getting to know you on email and Facebook at first and that sort of thing. But it was when I picked you up at the studio and brought you here for the weekend that I got super curious about angels and had never been curious about them really before. Well, actually, my mom, the last thing she gave me when I saw her, which was, oh boy, it was the weekend of the 29th of September of 2006, and the last thing she gave me on October 1st was a little tiny crystal angel. I think I've shown that to you before.
I think you told me that. Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that. And the bear, wasn't it? Like, didn't you give the bear, or was that the bear that you gave to Robert with the angel on it?
Yeah, the bear came later. I found those little angel bears, the little white beanie baby bears, exactly a year after she transitioned.
And oh, wow.
It was on October 25th of 2007. It was a year later. I walked into the CVS store. It used to be called Long's. But I walked in there and happened to see this aisle of Beanie Babies with all these little white angel bears. I don't even know how many of them I bought. I bought an awful lot of them because, you know, I have them here. I gave them to my brothers and sisters. Did I give you one of them? I think I might have given you one of them, too.
I think maybe you did. Yeah, I think so. But, yeah, I just loved that. And I think that, you know, certainly for me, when I started to really think or connect with the angels, it was all things like that. You know, like people would give me little angels, or I would see angels on the television. And so sometimes they come into our lives before we even know it, I think.
Yeah. It was amazing. Anyway, I got myself all choked up. But it was so important to me, though, learning about the angels. And so, you know, the timing of when I met you, I mean, it's when I remember Steve Jobs said in his commencement speech that when you look back on your life, you can connect the dots more about why this happened, that happened, and how that led to this and that, or whatever. It's so amazing.
Wow, yeah, no, for sure. Oh, absolutely. And we talk about that a lot. You hear me talk about that a lot on both my pages. You know, sometimes things happen and we don't really understand why they happen, but you look back and you're like, wow, there's like a whole mysterious thread between so many different things. And that's why I always say, if you're grateful for the moment that you're in now, or even if you're grateful for one thing in this moment, then you have to be grateful for all of your experiences, because they led you here, didn't they?
Oh, that's so true, Anna. That is so true. All right, now tell us just briefly a little bit about the song Like Me, because we're going to run out of time if I don't start playing some songs.
I know this is going to happen really quickly, isn't it? So Like Me, as I said, was the last track that I wrote, we wrote for the album, and it was something that I really felt strongly about, because I wanted to have a song that was really saying, you know, well, we all have different lives, have different challenges, but ultimately there's a lot more that's similar about us than different. And so the lyrics are about that and the things that I experience, and really, you know, asking the question of, have you ever experienced that? And most of the time people can say yes at least half of the things, and then you realize, oh, actually, you know, we're all just trying to do the best we can with the same kinds of challenges and the same kinds of experiences. So, yeah, that's what that song's about. And it's actually, you're right, it's one of my favorites too, so I'm glad you really like it.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. And you're so right. I mean, there's so much more about all of us that is the same than there is different. Oh, I'm going to play that, and then we'll talk some more. It's only about 3 minutes long, so we'll be talking again soon. Oh, Anna, that song is so beautiful, and the lyrics for it, the words that you put together and the way you put them together in your songs, but also in your posts that you put on Facebook and the posters, I mean, you touch my heart, you know, you really do. And get me
thanks. It was definitely a collaborative thing. You know, there was definitely things that were mixed around and put together once. Robert came up with that melody, and so, you know, it was kind of edited, but they were definitely my thoughts. These were, you know, the things I wanted to say, and I think it's because, you know, they're simple, but they're abstract and they're profound, and they're, you know, there's lots of different meanings behind them, but ultimately, as I said, you know, we all kind of live under the same sky, don't we?
Mm-hmm. And I wish that people would remember that more often, you know.
Yep. We're all part of the same thing, and we don't have to, you know, I think that's the thing, is that we're so quick, aren't we, to judge people based on the things that we think are different about someone, or that, you know, their struggle is not as much as ours, or they've got more than us, or they're, you know, got a different belief system or a different lifestyle. And it's like, well, actually, you know, can we just remember that we're all, you know, we're all having this human experience together? And yeah, so I totally agree. I wish people remembered that more.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, kindness is so important. I was in my Toastmasters club last year. We were had to do a project that was about leadership, a speech about leadership. And I realized at that time that what mattered to me most in leaders was that they were loving, kind, and creative, all three, you know. And
yep.
I think the contrast of how there's so many people that aren't those things made me realize how much more important I felt that was to have people be loving, kind, and creative, and to realize, mm-hmm. like you're saying, that there's so much more that's like us about other people, and that...
You could almost go, I believe, at least when, especially when I meet people, I meet a lot of people through the work that I do, and even online, you know, I think it's the things that make us similar that draw people to us. And, you know, certainly when I speak to people through the angel readings I do, or, you know, the coaching, or whatever you want to call it, ultimately people just want to feel like you can empathize with them, and that you can understand what it's like to at least have some kind of challenge similar to them. You know, obviously we're never going to have exactly the same, but when they feel really heard and like their problems and their lives are valid, and that their words are valid, and that they have something that they are finding challenging or beautiful or exciting, when they have that recognized, you know, it's very transformative. And I think that can be the same in any context. You know, if we're meeting someone across the street, if you create a connection with someone because you really start to see them for who they are and not make yourself different from them, there's something very special that happens because people trust you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. And I've known you a long time, and what you see is what you get with you. You know, you definitely are never pretending to be anybody but who you are. You're not pretending to be who you are, but I mean, you're never anybody but who you are. You know, you're definitely authentic. And
I feel like, you feel like, you know, because people will often say to me, oh, you know, you share quite a lot of your life, or, you know, when you're having a difficult time, or you know, all of that. And I'm not saying that I share every detail, but I also feel like I don't have anything to hide because I'm just a human being, you know, like everyone else. And that's part of us being authentic, and authenticity is always number one for me. You know, to be who you say you are is very important. So, yeah, I'm just me. I'm just me, but that's all good, right?
That is very good. And, yeah, no, I at this point in my life, well, actually for a long time, but especially at this point in my life, it's like I don't want to be around people who aren't willing to be authentic, who want to pretend to be somebody that they're not, or try to get you to think they're somebody they're not, or especially
right,
to be around
right.
people who are arrogant instead of confident. You know, we were talking about that before the show started. I was talking about that. You
there
know,
is
so,
a real difference. Yeah, there is a real difference. And, you know, I think especially in the world that we live in, where there is a lot of sharing and everyone kind of knows about each other, or, you know, at least in some way we feel like we do because of social media, there's a lot that we talk about where people just share the highlight reels. You know, they'll say like, oh, look, I'm doing this amazing thing. And, you know, all well, that's all good because, of course, it's part of celebrating and promoting what you do. But, you know, none of our lives are like that, really, are they? None of our lives
no.
are just that. You know, we also get up in the morning and we wear pajamas and we have problems and we have, you know, sometimes children running around and arguments and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, that's okay because somebody else is on the other side of the world too, you know?
Yeah. And you do it so beautifully, though. I mean, I would put more of those real moments on my pages if I felt more comfortable doing it. And that's one of the things that I love about you. And it's not that I don't ever have bad things happen. Boy, they definitely do. But what I found is I have tools to be able to get back up to feeling good again, work my way back up the emotional scale again. much more quickly than I did when I was younger, and especially when I was in
I'm certainly not saying that you have to share everything on social media to be authentic, but what I mean is that if I am going to be a person that shares messages with a lot of people, then that has to include some of my real life, or to me it does, you know. And so we all have our different boundaries with that, and we all have our different ways of dealing with that, and that's completely fine. And ultimately, you know, when people meet you, they're going to make their own mind up about, you know, whether they resonate with you and whether they love your show, or whether they, you know, they really love your part, you know, that's up to them. But I think really ultimately when we're talking about true confidence, it has to come from inside. So even if somebody has got an opinion, which, let's be honest, we all have opinions about things, it doesn't have to shake it so much. You know, like if somebody says to me on my Facebook page or anywhere, you know, oh, that's not so great, or I don't agree with that, or I don't like that song, or I don't, you know, that's okay, because I know who I am and I don't have to have everyone like me or everyone agree with me. Of course, sometimes I can be a bit sensitive to it, but actually I think that's been one of the best things about having, you know, a lot of people on my Facebook page, is that I've had to realize that if you reach that amount of people, you can't have everyone agree with you, you know. So I get to really experience what it's like to stay in my truth in a really kind of consistent daily level, because otherwise I would never do what I do. It would be too overwhelming.
Well, that's so true. I remember Wayne Dyer saying that a landslide in an election is when you get 51% of the people to like you.
Yes.
And if you think about it, I mean, there's so many different people in the world, it's no wonder that, you know, some people aren't going to like what we do. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And you're right, confidence is partly definitely knowing that it's, people are going to disagree with some of the things, like some of the things, love some of the things, but that you're okay whether they do or don't, you know, and that to me is what confidence is.
Yeah, I think to me that's what true confidence is. It doesn't have to mean that you think you're a perfect human being. It doesn't have to mean that, you know, you've got it all figured out. It doesn't have to mean that you think every part of you is amazing. But it's just that part of you inside that is, you know, really solid and really comfortable with who you are. And the great thing about me, because I do something that's a bit different, you know, like talk to the angels and, you know, share lots of different energy things with people, you know, it is different. But the great thing about that is that, you know, I don't have to expect people to understand that all the time. You know, I expect that the average person is going to understand what I do, but there are plenty of people when I show up and share that actually really are interested. So yeah, I think that's probably one of the main things that I have learned even more in the last 10 years. I mean, I was always like that. Even when you met me, I was always very kind of aware of that I did something different, and so I was just gonna have to show. Even when I did my album, people thought I was crazy, you know. Really, honestly, lots of people did not have a clue why I was doing that, and so I had to really be clear on my intention, and I'm even more so now. I really don't have to have people like everything I do. I'm not a people pleaser anymore. I don't have to kind of keep the peace for everyone else's peace. You know, my peace is what's most important. So if I can be truthful, just like you said, to myself, then that's my confidence.
Oh my gosh, you said all that so well. It is so true. I mean, I used to be a people pleaser. I used to try to keep the peace all the time. And you can't, you know, you just can't please everybody,
really,
number
one. Yeah.
And you can't keep the peace all the time, even though I'd love to, you know, because I am a peacemaker at heart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, you just can't. But
they always say, actually, the one thing that will happen when you try to please everyone else is, and you know, try to keep the peace, is that you will never be peaceful.
That is so true.
You can't be peaceful while you're trying to keep everyone else peaceful. It just doesn't work. So you have to kind of, again, as we said about confidence, you have to bring it right back to you and say that my peace and my confidence has nothing to do with what everyone else is saying or doing. And sometimes that's really hard. You know, if you're going through a really hard time and there's,
right.
you know, a real struggle happening, that's really hard. And, of course, that is definitely in my human moments. I would tell you that that's really difficult. But, you know, when I come back to that, I'm always like, okay, so I get to choose how I respond. I get to choose how I react to that situation. I get to choose whether I still speak my truth or I still share my work or I still do something that might have been considered, you know, off the usual path. And I'm so grateful. Honestly, at this point, I'm going to be 40 next year. This time next year, I will be nearly 40. I'm just about to turn 39. And I would say that that is honestly one of the best things about getting older.
Oh, it is. You know, I was 39 myself when I started realizing I needed to be me, Anna. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I was going to say, for the person that you met 10 years ago to now, is I think there's something really freeing when you suddenly go, yeah, I am totally me and I'm okay with it. You know, there is something really... I think that's the major difference. And of course, as you know, there are times when I have really hard times or insecurities like everyone else, but there's something really liberating about just saying, this is me, this is how I'm going to show up in the world. And, you know, and when we are able to share that, I don't even think you need to really show someone that. I think you can teach by example, which is why, you know, maybe when people see my posts or videos or when people see yours, that there's something inside them that kind of gives them permission to do that too.
Exactly. Because the thing is that's one of the things you learn as a parent too. Wayne Dyer taught me that I talk about him a lot because he's been an amazing teacher in my life. And that's part of why my show is called Love Your Music, is because he had said, don't die
yep.
with your music still in you. But one of the tape programs he had that meant the most to me and still does is called What Do You Really Want for Your Children? And in it, he talked about the fact that you don't teach by telling them. You teach by example. You know, they learn from what they see you do, what they hear you say, how you live your life. You know, you teach by example and by how you choose to live your life, not by telling them, do this and
it's totally different. A child, you can say to a child, oh, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. But if they see you constantly beating yourself up, being really self-critical and looking at yourself in the mirror and being really sad all the time, that's what they see. They don't see that you must say I love myself or you must love yourself. They see it from that perspective on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, a lot of people I speak to, actually, the women I speak to, having, you know, some kind of child in their life, you know, in my case, being an aunt, I think it's mm-hmm. incredibly motivating because you know that you would want the absolute best for the children around you. And so you start to see yourself and your life in a different way. So it's powerful, isn't it?
Oh, it's so powerful. I mean, that's when Xander was born, I realized I wanted to be the best mom role model and friend I could be for him, and that I had a long way to go to get to being what I felt was the best I could be for him. But it's all a work in progress. And like you said, even seeing
for sure.
the
part of that is to be compassionate with yourself and say, I don't have all the answers and I don't know, and none of us
exactly.
do really. But if you can just say, I am going to make a conscious effort to treat myself kindly in the way that I would want my child or in my case, my nephew or my nieces to see themselves, then that is a really good starting point, isn't it?
It really is. And it brings us into the idea of happiness and about how we can't make other people happy and how we, you know, we always want
yes.
our friends and our family and our kids and everybody to be happy, and only we can are the only ones really that can make us happy. And
it
brings me into the song that I wanted to play next, which is If You Could. And if you could tell us a little bit about that song, because I have a feeling that kind of goes in with that topic of trying to want
it does.
To make life better.
Yeah, it
for
does.
Other
it was
people.
A very Yeah, it was. Actually, you know, it was really interesting. We started to write the songs, think it was March time, April time in 2008. And then by the time I got to June, so right after I'd written two or three songs with Robert, I actually found myself in hospital because I couldn't feel some of my legs. And obviously it was a really weird, crazy few days. Fortunately, I got better. It was probably just a virus that attacked sort of the weakest part of me. But, you know, there was all sorts of opinions, and especially, you know, and you probably have this experience when you know people that are healers and teachers and therapists, and in my world, you know, there were tons of people that were just wanting to give me loads of advice and saying, do this and do that. And I had one particular comment that was like, well, you know how you just need to think positive, Anna. You know, it was like,
oh God,
excuse me, you know, it was just really inappropriate, you know, and
yeah.
So, and it's that whole spiritual hierarchy thing, like, I know better than you, you know, that kind of thing. And at the time I was like, you can give me a miracle if you want, but actually all I need you to do is love me. You know, I don't need you to fix me. I don't need you to tell me what to do, but just be there for me. And so that's where that song came from. And of course, that's definitely to do with happiness, because nobody can make it okay for you, but you can actually support someone in helping them to feel better, not trying to fix them or kind of force them in a certain way, because that's just not something that anyone else can control.
So true. Well, let's play the song. It's 4 minutes long, and then afterward
sure.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, because we only have about 8 minutes left. Okay, so this is If You Could, Anna Taylor.
You can't fix me. You can't change time. I'm not broken, just looking for what's my life. I'm just looking for my life. If you could give me a miracle, I know you would. If you could catch my every fall, I know you would. Shelter me. I'm just looking for my life.
Oh, Anna, what a beautiful song.
Thank you. I must admit, I would say that you probably, I might change my mind, but you probably played my two favourite songs, the ones that I come back to or the ones that people mention to me most. So that's really lovely, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I just listened to my heart, what I felt were the right songs to play. I mean, as far as for you and for the audience and for me and whoever, I really wanted to play You Know Me as well, and I have it queued up, but we don't have time to do that. We only have 4 minutes left. But it's just,
that's totally
fine. Know, this is the way life's meant to be. I mean, we're meant to live it in a flexible way where, you know, we go with the flow instead of trying to go, oh, no, it has to be exactly this way at this time.
Exactly. Yep, yep. Actually, it's really funny because I do a weekly angel reading that I post on my YouTube and my Facebook, and that was the message of the week, really, is just stay flexible. Don't worry if your plans don't go according to plan. So there you go.
I love that. I love your angel readings, and I love your posters, your gorgeous posters that you post on Instagram and Facebook page. I put some of those in the slideshow and in the poster about the show. I just, you know, you create so much beauty. I mean, you could definitely be an amazing graphic artist and create a book. That's what I would love to see, is a book of all of your beautiful
posters. Yeah, well, that's
posters.
Definitely, I don't plan on being an artist, but I am going to put a book together at some point. It's a big project, isn't it, to do that, but it's definitely on my list, and hopefully I've got a few plans that means that I'll be able to do a couple of creative projects, hopefully starting towards the end of the year, but maybe the beginning of next year, and that's going to definitely include some writing and art and things like that. So it will take a while, and I don't really have major details about it right now, but yeah, I definitely feel like it's time to do a creative project more rather than just, you know, sharing it just on Facebook. I really miss creating something a little bit like my album, where I get to then share the end result. So yeah, really excited about that. But I'm so grateful to have, you know, this conversation with you, Margot, and thank you for being so gracious and kind to me always.
Thank you for all you've done for me, and how kind you've been to me, and how encouraging you've been, believing eyes and a catcher's mitt for me so many times. You've been, as Julia Cameron calls it, you've been there and encouraged me, and by your being brave, helps me be more brave. And I think that that's true with the other people who see your posts. We've only got a minute and a half, so really quickly, what do you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh, my goodness. I would say, especially at this time of year, I think it's a real time of change, but I also think that there's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. I think a lot of people are, you know, not really sure how things are going to play out. And, you know, especially for those of us who are sensitive, I think we're feeling it. And just like I said, you know, a little bit for the weekly angel reading, I think it's really important that, one, we're kind to ourselves, as we just said in this whole show, but also to really, as much as possible, go with the flow and really do whatever works for you to help you to feel like you can trust your journey, or trust the process, or trust the angels, whatever you want to call it, you know, to really trust that there is, you know, a bigger picture that we don't understand. And, you know, I know for me that sometimes that can be extremely mysterious, and I don't have all of the things, and I don't know why certain things happen. But I do believe that when we focus on what is important to us and who is important to us, then we can kind of come back to the real solid foundation of our lives. And then, as we just talked about, we don't have to worry so much about, you know, all of the stuff going on, because really we have to be the change that we want to create in the world. And I think that Wayne Dyer said that too, didn't he? So there you go.
Oh, thank you, Anna. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to be cut off the live show any second. And thank you for being on the show. I appreciate you, and I appreciate all you do.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, Margot.
You're welcome. Bye. Bye now, everyone. Live your music.